Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This definitely is a day to rejoice because this is the day the Lord has made. So let us be because He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What makes life worth living? What makes life worth celebrating? It's the message of Easter. No fooling. Trouble and death do not get the last word. Because He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
So let us continue to worship the Christ together with the Father and the Holy Spirit as we turn our attention now to the invocation on page 3. Christ Jesus has risen.
He has risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Where, O death, is your victory?
Where, O death, is your sting?
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
We worship in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us worship.
Please stand. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst.
If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
This is how God showed His love among us.
He sent His one and only Son into the world, that we might live.
This is love.
Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
And whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Do you believe this?
Yes.
Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship Him.
Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture. The Lord prophesies everlasting joy for His people upon the completion of His plan of salvation. We hear about this good news through the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship Him.
We join in singing our psalm for today.
Thank you.
hope we have in Christ is indeed real and rock solid, because Christ is indeed risen from the dead. A reminder of this great truth from 1 Corinthians 15. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship.
Please stand for the gospel reading. It's taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Awesome news. And now is the time indeed to share this good news. Our Lord writes by inspiration, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
Please be seated. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Grace and mercy and peace are yours in very great abundance. And this possible from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear these words from the book of Hebrews, where our Lord writes to us through chapter 7. "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is the big deal about today? Why all the fuss over what can be called Easter details? This Sunday is just like any other Sunday, is it not? Yes and no. True, every Sunday should be considered special, as a special day, as Sundays present a formal opportunity for us to gather together around the Word of God and offer up praises to our God. But what makes this particular Sunday each year special is that it serves as the reason why all the other Sundays on the calendar year are to be considered special as well. One of the hymns we like to sing captures what makes Easter Sunday special and worth the fuss, along with all the prep that goes into every Sunday worship service. As I read these words, I invite you to open up to hymn 399. Hymn 399. The hymn writer wrote, "To God be the glory, great things he has done. He so loved the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in." Our response to such life-saving and giving news is found in the refrain of that hymn. And I invite you to sing it with me right now. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He, the Lord God, has done with all people in mind. And at the heart of such is this: he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Not only does this message speak to why this Sunday and all Sundays are to be considered special to us, and we pray they are for countless others too, it speaks to who was at the center of the why, and that is Jesus Christ, our great and eternal high priest. God the Father, out of love, sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. God the Holy Spirit works such good news in our hearts through the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. All three persons of the Trinity working for the good of our salvation. Praise the Lord indeed for his great love expressed to us in word and in action. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
There is no God like the God of the Bible. For there is no God that can do what this God, our God by grace, has already done and is doing and has waiting for us who believe with no strings attached. Now, this is not just a message and encouragement for us today. It has been the message and encouragement for believers of all time. At the time of our text, believers were beginning to waffle. Should we go back to Old Testament requirements, or should we continue forward in the fulfillment of those Old Testament requirements and prophecies concerning the Messiah? Well, it should have been a no-brainer decision on their part. But we must admit that we too at times waffle with our Christian freedom as we too at times can think that it is our routines and our traditions and observances that make us righteous before God, or what make the Sunday special, when it really is all about the message. To make that point for believers then and now, God had the writer of the book of Hebrews write this very important truth. Now, there have been many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The writer is contrasting the old covenant with the new, and making the point that the new is superior and better because it is focused and rooted in Jesus, and so it is rooted in grace. The undeniable truth about the old is that it required the priests to offer up countless sacrifices day after day. Well, what happened to all those earthly priests from the family line of Aaron, the brother of Moses? They died. All 83 of them, someone counted, from the time of Aaron to 70 AD, when Jerusalem was crushed as predicted in Matthew chapter 24. Why then stick with something that leads to death, when what leads to life is staring you right in the face? It was not meant to be about the animal sacrifices themselves, or even about the priests. It was always and is always meant to be about the Christ, the coming Messiah. He would not need to offer up sacrifices first for himself, like the earthly priests had to do, because they had sin to confess. He would not need to find a year-old lamb without defect to offer up, because he himself came to be the lamb to be offered up. He would not need to be taken out of office due to death, for he was and is the one who is always about. He is the priest who lives forever, though for a time he did have to die. This is why then it is fitting to refer to Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb, as our great high priest. And he is not just the high priest for this earthly life. He is such for all eternity. He is not going anywhere, unlike the earthly high priests who had gone before. Think of how many belief systems are subject to change when their leader dies. Why is this? If there was a flaw in the teachings of the former leader, then why were those teachings followed in the first place? With God in the book that he has passed down to us through his prophets and apostles, there is no need to change or update the teachings, for his teachings are valid for all time. The apostle Peter makes this same point, emphasizing this train of thought in 1 Peter chapter 1. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. People who say that the Bible is outdated have their own agenda. For when it comes to relevancy, the Bible does not need to take a back seat. The problem then is not with the Bible, but rather with us who, due to our sinful flesh, do not like to be called out on the carpet when the Bible says that this or that lifestyle or that thought process is wrong and leads to death. God is all about love, to be sure. But love also includes saying the hard-to-hear things, which we need to hear as well, or else. And when it comes to ignoring God, the else does not lead to a picnic on a Sunday beautiful day. Oh, it's a hot day to be sure, but not blue sky and sunny. The Bible makes it clear that there is only one way to to be spared the eternal consequence that has come when sin entered the world. Jesus is that way, for he is the truth and the life. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
It is not through the sacrifices that we have to make or offer up that gets God's attention and favor. Rather, it was and is through the sacrifice that Jesus has already made in our behalf that gets his attention. Hear these words from 1 John chapter 4. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, our text points out, is the one who has saved us completely. That is, no more sacrifices for our sin need to be offered up. Rather, each time we sin, and who of us can keep count of how many times we sin, we have one to go through for forgiveness. Because each time we sin, Jesus, our mediator, our great high priest, taps his Father on the shoulder and says, I paid for that one too. Now, such knowledge is not a license to sin more, but rather such serves as the motivation to want to keep our sinful life in check. And this we can do by the power the Holy Spirit works in us as we stay connected to God's Word, his means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. Because of Jesus and our call to faith in Jesus as our Savior and great High Priest, in his saving work, we have been put in a position to serve as mediators, go-betweens on behalf of others. The temple curtain came down on Good Friday. Access to God's throne has been opened up to us free and clear. Again, not because of anything that we have done, but only because of what Jesus, his Son, our Savior, has done completely. When he declared from that cross, it is finished. Now we can take our requests to God our Father through Jesus on behalf of others. We can pray for those whose walk is blameless at this point in time. We can pray that the Lord God keep our walk blameless in his sight. What power we have been given through the gift of prayer. But prayer is not a means of grace. So may prayer not take precedence over time spent in the Word of God. For that time spent in the Word will lead us better on what to pray for and to give thanks to God for all that he has given us, including the fact he has risen. So not only is Jesus not going anywhere, unlike the Old Testament earthly high priest who died and who could not serve in that office any longer, it is clear that Jesus is the one who meets our greatest need. And what is our greatest need that Jesus has met? Well, it is pointed out to us in the opposite of these words which describe Jesus in verse 26. Such a high priest meets our need. And again, we do have a need for this. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, Aaron and Phinehas and all the others from the line of Aaron, unlike them, he does not need to offer up sacrifices day after day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus is pure. We are not. Sin is behind the things that are taking place in this world. And so for all the sins, small and great, sins that come with a slap on the wrist or with a life sentence in a prison cell, Jesus went to the cross and declared, "It is finished." Not only then is payment for sin, all sin, past, present, and future, taken care of, our greatest need. Not only has it been satisfied through the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, death too has been conquered as one of the greatest consequences connected to sin. Physical death is hard enough to deal with, is it not? Partly because God did not create us to die. But when sin entered the world, death came with it. Spiritual death, too, came into this world. We did not start out our life in a good relationship with God. If you think differently on that, reread Ephesians chapter 2. And if people remain spiritually dead when they die physically, that leads to a great tragedy, as they will remain dead to God for all eternity. It is a tragedy because life does not have to end this way, does it? Easter Sunday is the reason why not. John 3:16 spells out this great, wonderful, life-giving news so simply and so clearly. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is what God wants for all people, and He has made it possible. And yet, how does the majority of the world seem to respond to this good life-giving message? Many are more excited to have their children sit on the Easter bunny's lap than at the feet of Jesus. Many treat this day just like any other day on the calendar. Many continue to look only to themselves to solve life's many problems of sin. Many problems there are in this world. But to be sure, sin is the reason why we have so many problems. And when we do not squash sin with Jesus, well, we are living with the results of such each and every day. A pastor of a different church has been quoted to say, "We have so many social problems to deal with here on earth that we don't have time to think about heaven." Tragic. How can we properly deal with all the problems here on earth if we don't have heaven in the mix? Earthly problems in general are not going away, but the people who have earthly problems will. So what are we doing to help prepare them for that time? That is what makes this day so special, because we have something lasting to offer people in addition to earthly help. For personal earthly problems are temporary, but what comes after is for all eternity. Yes, Jesus has met our greatest need and all that comes with it. And so He will indeed meet all our needs as He has promised. This doesn't mean that all our problems are going to go away here on this side of heaven, but those problems do not need to keep us from looking forward to and one day receiving the life we all need and are able to receive through Jesus, our great and eternal High Priest. Because He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
This, dear friends, is what makes today special. And not only today, but it sets the tone for every Sunday and for every day of our life here on this side of heaven. He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while He lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. And to this, all God's people say,
Amen.
Because He has risen,
He has risen indeed.
Let's continue with the singing of hymn 406. pray. O Lord God, our strength, our song, and our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead.
Thank you, God. You give us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
In your compassion, you sent Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life to rescue the lost.
Cry out, O God, in the gloom, and we may delight in your glorious triumph.
Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives, to make intercession for the saints, and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people, standing before your throne, and singing the song of victory.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and praise.
Make us instruments of your peace, as we bring the good news of hope and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and our treasures.
Merciful Lord, deliver us that we may live for you.
Merciful Lord Jesus, grant healing to the sick and strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence and comfort them with the hope of eternal life. For those able to celebrate a birthday this week, refresh them in body and soul. For life is a gift from you, a gift to be celebrated. And renew those privileged to celebrate a wedding anniversary. Deepen the couple's love for each other and for you. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say,
Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
please stand for prayer and the closing hymn. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people.
So that we may serve you with steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Brothers, sisters, go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us worship him.
He has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Great to see you on this beautiful Easter day for many reasons. Just to highlight a special thank you to all of our musicians to help edify our worship service on this Easter day. Thank you for all your God-given talent being used in this way. Also, a thank you to those who helped decorate our church so beautifully today and always, and to all the weekend volunteers. Yesterday and today, all the events going on, including those who helped prepare the brunch for today. Thank you for that. If you haven't gone over there, or if you want to go back for seconds, please go over to our gym, our ministry auditorium, our beautiful facility that God has allowed us to have for such fellowship purposes. Also, I direct your attention to the weekly news for this week for some key information regarding teacher calls, Bible study next week, and the rest of April and then May, as well as the tour for the Auto Museum next Sunday, along with other great informative news to help add to your already busy calendars and to-do lists. So God, to him be the glory, for he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Have a great day in the Lord.